Welcome to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com. Each week during the season, Coach Callahan and Matt Harmon will talk Hawks football with a look back to the past Saturday's game and a glance ahead to what's coming up. The show is broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End, and you're invited to be part of the action. Now, let's get the latest on the Monmouth Hawks from Matt and Coach Cal.
And a very good Tuesday evening around the Jersey Shore. If you turned on the weather forecast anytime in the last 12 hours, you think maybe Armageddon is taking place. But here in the West End, just some wind, not really any rain. Matt Harmon along with the head coach of the Monmouth Hawks, Kevin Callahan. This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on 1160, 1310 a.m. and shoresportsnetwork.com. Monmouth fresh off a dominating performance against Wagner this past Saturday, 38-17 up in Staten Island. And we'll jump into that game as I say good evening to Coach Callahan. Coach, you know, a couple of things were on the line, obviously, in that game, trying to snap out of a three-game losing streak to Wagner, a team that is Monmouth's closest proximity rival, trying to even up the overall series at 10 games apiece, as that was the 20th time, and wrecking the christening of the field to your old boss, Walt Hanlein. Very impressive performance again. The thing that I'll start you out with, it's always nice, I feel like, when you're leaving the field and you're talking to coaches or players and you say, good game, and they say, pretty good game, but we could have done even better in a pretty convincing 38-17 win. Let's start there.
Well, I think that's the, you know, the attitude that we have as a coaching staff, and we're trying to convey that to the players. Don't get me wrong, we did a lot of things very well on Saturday, and I thought that we were an improved team from where we were the week before against the University of Rhode Island. But there's still some things that we need to do a better job of. I think that, you know, and I'll start with those. I think we need to keep our competitive edge all the way through the game. I don't think we ever let up. Don't mistake me in that. But I think we could have really kept the look in our eye all the way through to the very end. And that's something that I've been preaching with our guys all the way through. I think it's important that we not only start fast, but we play hard and we finish games off. And, you know, there was a point there where I just felt us relax a little bit, not ever to the point where I felt we were letting Wagner back into the game. But there was just a little bit of relaxation. And, you know, you try to tell young guys that, and they look at you and they say, Coach, it's 35-10. You know, what are you talking about here? But there are going to be games this season where we are going to have to call on that resolve. We're going to have to call on that focus and the ability to keep that edge for 60 complete minutes. And when that time comes, I don't want it to be something new. I don't want it to be something where, oh, we have to go find this now. I want it to be something that we are used to doing week in and week out. So that was kind of the message we sent to our guys. But, you know, going back to all the good things that happened, I thought that offensively we started fast and we got on the board early. Kyle Frazier had an exceptional day spreading the ball around, and at the halftime, I believe he was 15 of 17 throwing the ball. I thought we ran the ball well and were able to really knock Wagner's defensive line off the ball. You know, that being said, we had some penalties that I felt caused us to leave some points on the field. They put us in first and 20s or second and 25s and things of that nature that, you know, made it very difficult to convert third downs. But all in all, I think it was a very good offensive performance. You know, we have Mike Hunchak with us, who will speak a little bit later, and I thought had one of the best games that I've ever seen from an offensive lineman. It was truly outstanding. You know, on the defensive side, 7 of the 9 series to start the game were 3 and outs, and they were for negative yardage on Wagner's part. And that's just a tremendous performance. And, you know, we caused 3 turnovers again for the third consecutive game. We really limited their ability to run the ball, put them in must-pass situations. And we feel that when we get a team into that situation, we can come with enough pressure to really make it difficult for them. And I think you saw that on Saturday. We registered 6 sacks on the day. So, you know, it was a dominating performance. I think they only converted 2 out of 15 third downs or something along those lines. So it was excellent in that regard. You know, the area where we really need to improve is in special teams. You know, I'm not happy with our kickoff coverage at all. We gave up a touchdown that, you know, at the time it might seem, well, it doesn't really matter, but it does matter. And that's the second week in a row where we really haven't been as tight and as solid as we need to be in that area. So that, you know, that's something that we're giving an awful lot of attention to as we move forward.
38-17, the final score against Wagner. Monmouth now 2-1 on the season, 1-0 in conference play. Coach led in some insight as to one of our guests tonight, senior center Mike Hunchek. Junior linebacker Dan Sullivan will be the other, along with Scott Van Zyl, the offensive coordinator, short of any surprise guests, as Coach was bumped off a week ago in favor of the president, Paul Gaffney. Let's talk a little bit about some individual performances. Dan Sullivan recognized, second week now in a row that you've had a player. Last week was Kyle Frazier recognized for his play offensively. Dan Sullivan named not only as the NEC Defensive Player of the Week, but as the National Player of the Week. And kind of a unique role for him, you know, the starting middle linebacker, but much of his statistic day was done from a defensive end, rush end spot when he had 3.5 sacks.
Well, you know, Dan had just an outstanding performance. You know, as I said earlier, we really shut down Wagner's running game and put them into a must-pass situation. And this is the second year now where we've used Dan as a rush defensive end when we go to our nickel package. And he has a great combination of strength and speed, and he really just has too much athleticism for the offensive tackles that are trying to block him. And Dan was able to get around the corner, put the pressure on the quarterback, and as you said, was in on 3.5 sacks. One of those was a sack where he also caused a fumble. He truly had a great day. Danny was very fired up to start that game, and he stayed with it all the way through. And, you know, you could just see from the sideline the energy that he was bringing to our defense, and had an outstanding day.
4.5 tackles for a loss among a 9-tackle day. Pretty amazing performance, one of the better ones that Monmouth has had defensively in recent memory. A couple of key numbers out of this game. We talked, obviously, about the kickoff coverage and some penalties for Monmouth, but again, pretty balanced offensively. Again, you talked about rushing the football, which was more of the dominant of the two, rushing and throwing. Kyle Frazier, 22 of 28, great efficiency numbers, but for just 138 yards. And on a day when you run for 229, that might be a day that the passing game kind of takes a back seat, and I think we saw that on Saturday.
Well, we did see that. We felt going into the game, because of all the pressure that Wagner liked to bring and all the different sets and blitzes that they would show you, that we needed to be able to run the ball. We felt that if we could run the ball, we could quiet them down in terms of, you know, how many blitzes they would be bringing at us. In our passing game for Wagner was designed for the short passes, and that's where you see we had tremendous efficiency, but we didn't have the yardage. We were getting on first down, we were getting fives and sixes and sevens and things like that in the passing game, and we weren't looking to go down the field, although we did have a long pass, a touchdown pass to Tristan Roberts, and Kyle also had one to Lamar Davenport right before the half. Our game plan was really to get them off balance with the short passing game, slow the blitzes down, and then pound away with the run. And I think that's how the game unfolded.
I know it's just Tuesday, so there might still be some healing that is going on during the course of the week, but a couple of injuries for the first time in a couple games. We saw Josh Patterson, starting guard, walk off. We saw Tyler George come off, both of those in the second half. And it still seems, at least to us up in the press box calling the game, that Neil Sterling is not 100% right, and it might be a situation where his ankle is not 100% right all season long. But just maybe a brief update on whether those guys are okay, and if there's anybody else that maybe we missed.
Right. Sure. In Neil's case, you know, he's had that high ankle sprain since the second day of preseason practice, and it's been nagging him all along. And just when he gets the point where he looks like he's nearing 100%, he tweaks it again. That happened again on Saturday. We made the decision at halftime, if we still had control of the game midway through the third quarter, that we were just going to elect to shut him down. And that's what you saw there. If we needed him to play, he could have played. But we're trying to help the healing process here with that ankle. And at that position, a high ankle sprain is very difficult to get back from if you don't really just shut it down and rest it. Josh Patterson had an ankle sprain as well during the game. He left the game, but he's fully expected to be ready to go this week. He'll be at practice tomorrow. He was at practice today. And Tyler George really was just a matter of getting the wind knocked out of him. He took a pretty good hit on a ball down in the red zone there. He got back up from it, but at that point we said the game is well in hand, and there really wasn't any sense to put him back out there.
Well, you and I kind of talked about this a little bit before the show actually started. At what point did you wake up on Sunday and say, is this 2012 or 2011? Because through three games, the schedule and the way the results have gone very similar to last year, and it was in this week number four that the schedule got a bit harder and things kind of took a turn for the worse. Just to recap, a loss against Lehigh, just like last year in 2011, a win against the CAA team, last year Villanova, this year Rhode Island, and a win on the road to open up conference play, which is never easy, last year at Central Connecticut State, this year at Wagner.
Well, that's certainly a fact that isn't lost on me or on our team. I made a big point of telling them just that on Sunday night. We returned after that win at Central Connecticut last year to face an 0-3 Robert Morris team. It was a team that I really felt all along, even after that we played them, that we were the better team. It was a game where we committed 17 penalties. We turned the ball over. We were out of sync from start to finish, and we end up losing the game. And then once you lose an NEC game, now you're playing from behind, and you've got to look and expect help from somebody else. You know, this year's scenario has unfolded exactly like last year's. Here we are coming home. We're facing the Sacred Heart team, who is winless. And it's a game where we have to be sharp. And the message that I'm trying to send to our players, Matt, is that it's not as much about who you play, but are you getting better every week? And I felt that through the first three games, we have improved every week. In some aspect of our football game, we have gotten better. We've got to make sure that we do that this week. We've got to keep our focus on improving. We have to understand that the season is a process, and if you do that week after week, you're going to be where you want to be at the end of the season. So it's incredibly important, you know, that we attack this team this week, that we attack Sacred Heart, and we attack our preparation for it.
Sacred Heart, the opponent on Saturday afternoon. It'll be the 22nd of September, a 1 o'clock kickoff at Kessler Field. We're on the air, of course, 10 minutes prior with the pregame show on 1160, 1310, and SureSportsNetwork.com. You know, we usually save this for the end. I thought it would be a good way to go into our first break was to kind of look back at how some of the NEC teams did last week, as Monmouth and Wagner was the only all-conference game. But there were, again, some pretty impressive performances, and one of which took place in a loss. Youngstown State beat Albany 31-24. The Albany game looming in a couple weeks. That might be obviously extremely important. New Hampshire kind of laid in on Central Connecticut State. St. Francis, Pennsylvania has maybe surprised some. They put together 43 unanswered points in beating Morehead State 57-23. Duquesne was a winner over Valparaiso 45-17. Maine beat Bryant 51-7. Dayton was a winner over Robert Morris 20-14. And, of course, Sacred Heart, a loss. We'll get into them a little bit more. Colgate beat the Pioneers up in Hamilton 35-14. As you kind of look now, because we're almost somewhere between 25 and 33%, depending on who's played two or three games into the season, who has surprised you maybe the most and who has kind of done exactly or pretty close to what you thought they would do?
Well, the biggest surprise for me is Bryant. They're 0-3 right now, and I thought that they were going to be a team that really could challenge for the NEC championship. I think they were selected either two or three, depending on which polls you looked at in the preseason. And they haven't won yet. They do have a tremendous running back in Jordan Brown. They've got a great receiver in Jordan Harris. I know they're breaking in a new quarterback, and they have to replace some guys in the offensive line, and they have some holes that they needed to fill on defense. So maybe that adjustment is a little bit more than they thought it would be. But they are playing a very good schedule as well. I know Maine is a top 20 team, and so, you know, you don't want to put too much credit or credibility into the record this early on, but that surprises me a little bit. The other thing that really surprises me is St. Francis. The points that they are putting up without what I think is their best player, who I think is their best player. And their
Kyle Harbridge.
Kyle Harbridge is out for the year. He's not going to play. And yet they're still able to put up an awful lot of points and to win at Morehead State in the fashion that they did. It is really quite surprising to me. You know, I like what Albany's doing. I mean, they've lost their first game against Youngstown State, who this week comes in at number three nationally in the latest FCS coaches poll. Youngstown State beat Pitt opening weekend. So to stay in that game was a very, very close game. It was tied at the half at 21. You know, Youngstown jumped up 31-21. Albany came back, put another field goal on the board, made it a one-score game in the fourth quarter. So, you know, I like the way Albany's playing right now.
In terms of the conference standings overall, before we take our first break, it is Albany, Monmouth, and St. Francis, Pennsylvania, all right now 1-0 in the league. And ironically enough, all three teams are 2-1 overall. Duquesne, Sacred Heart, Central Connecticut State, and Robert Morris have yet to play a league game. Bryant, Wagner, and Robert Morris all at 0-1. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back after the 60-second spot, we'll be joined by Dan Sullivan, the reigning NEC and National Player of the Week on the defensive side of the football. We'll do it all after this quick break. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Hey, man, here, have a Coke Zero. I don't watch the game without it.
Okay.
With Coke Zero, I can have real Coke taste and zero calories. If they can do that, then what else is possible?
How about a quarterback who throws touchdown passes
and then catches them himself in the end zone?
He throws it deep. Wait, he catches his own pass. Touchdown. Weird.
Like cheerleaders who cheer
and deliver sandwiches.
Someone wanted sandwiches.
I love your sandwiches.
Coke Zero. Real Coke taste and zero calories. Enjoy everything.
The Asbury Park Press brings the Monmouth and Ocean County sports scene to life. Only the Asbury Park Press covers local teams, players, and schools like the Monmouth Hawks, both on and off the field. For all things Jersey Shore, subscribe to the press. To subscribe to the Asbury Park Press, give them a call at 1-800-822-9779 or visit app.com/subscribe. The Asbury Park Press, your news any way you want it, wherever you are. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
Back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End, the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show rolling along. Busy show each week. We always have a couple of guests swing by. Tonight, Mike Hunchak and Scott Van Zyl, the offensive coordinator, will give us some time. But in our first segment tonight, because he is getting ready to lock himself in his room and study away for the rest of the night, is the junior middle linebacker Dan Sullivan, of course, local product out of Manasquan, and has really made a name for himself after his performance this past week, in which he had 9 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 4.5 tackles for a loss. And Dan, first of all, welcome to the show and congratulations on being named as the NEC Defensive Player of the Week and National Defensive Player of the Week. Quite an honor for you.
Yeah, it's definitely a great honor. You know, all the hard work in the offseason, especially the winter conditioning and the program Tim Ream put together and all the work over the summer. You can tell that every single person on this team did the same amount of work and really put it in for this year.
Now, you have been a player here in your third year. Your first year, you got knocked out of the Robert Morris game, had to miss some games due to injury. Last year, I would have to imagine for a player that came from such a program as Manasquan, where losing is not something that you're accustomed to as a member of the Big Blue, last year was probably a bit frustrating for you, as I'm sure was the end of that freshman year where you couldn't play. But talk about, and as we have now been on for a couple of weeks now, I've heard everybody talk about the different attitude that this team has as opposed to the last couple.
Yeah, when I first got here, it was definitely different. You know, the losing was not something I was used to. And the attitude about losing, like when you lost, it was acceptable, stuff like that. I mean, from where I came from, the way that I was raised, that was not the case. And now, this year, I mean, the loss against Lehigh, you know, it wasn't something we were all happy about. But the attitude that we brought to the field to begin the season, and then even after the loss, I didn't know we could pick it up higher than we started the season, but we definitely did.
Coach, you can certainly speak to that, and you and I have spoken about that. Just a different, seems to be a different personality that this team, and every year's team has a personality. This year seems to be a bit different than the last couple.
They do, and this team developed or began developing that personality and that attitude as far back as January. They started the winter conditioning program with an attitude that we were all going to get on the same page. And we had everybody on our team basically recommitted and rededicated themselves to the task of preparing to win. And winning is something that everybody wants to do. And, you know, but this team has really put in the hard work and the preparation throughout the winter and the spring so that they would put themselves in a position to win right now. And in doing that, Matt, you know, we lost some players. Some players, you know, decided to play elsewhere and to go other different directions. And, you know, while we don't like to lose anybody, you know, that's fine with us. If everybody's not going to all be on the same page and we're not going to be all in, which was our mantra throughout the winter and spring, you know, we don't need them here. They're either all in or they're out, and this team is all in.
Danny, I mean this as a compliment, and it might not come out that way, but when you step on the field, especially during a game, what happens to you? Because you flip a switch, and players do it. You know, you see a lot of players do it, but the emotion and the passion that you play the game with is almost off the charts.
Yeah, I mean, especially the way I train, that I try to base my training off of it. I mean, when I step on the field, I feel like I'm a completely different person. I feel like I have fire in my veins. I mean, the feeling of hitting somebody is... I mean,
you don't like the other team when you play them.
No, and the funny thing about it is there's actually a couple of my friends that I even trained with over the summer. I play against them, like from Wagner and St. Francis. And the second I step on the field, I wouldn't even know who they were because they're the enemy.
Now, this past week, and I know this about you because I was fortunate enough to see you play in high school and do some of your games on the radio, you line up at that defensive end spot, which you started to do a little bit last year, and I think this year it's been a bit more prominent, obviously, with the numbers that you put up, 3.5 sacks. But you played defensive end in high school, so that position to you is not something that you're not accustomed to, but I would have to imagine it's different playing it in college than it was in high school.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, I'm usually only in there for the pass rushing downs, but the good thing about playing it in high school, and because my dad was my coach and he worked with me day in and day out about the run blocking and stuff, they're actually starting to run some draws and stuff, and thank, because we didn't go over that much in practice, so the minute we got in the game and they ran the ball, I was like, oh my god, I didn't know what to do. So but the pass rushing, Coach Jackson, from last year to this year, how much he has worked with me has been, I don't even know how to describe it. He, after practice, before practice, I mean, he taught me so much, especially in training camp, because, I mean, we have to dominate, especially on third downs, because that was our biggest thing last year. We'd have the first two downs great, and then the third downs is where we struggled. So we worked on that all through camp, especially win periods. That's what we called it.
Dan Sullivan, the junior middle linebacker here for Monmouth, the reigning NEC Defensive Player of the Week, national recognition this year, this week as well. And Coach, you know, if there's probably one thing on the defensive line that maybe you were lacking coming into the season, minus Dan's pass rush, was just that, a true rush guy. Ian Simon had a great year last year in that spot. And though the eight guys who kind of are in the rotation are very workmanlike and do their job, there wasn't really that speed guy off the edge, which would made me think that somewhere in the coaches' meeting we said, hey, we have the guy, we just got to put him in a different position.
Well, that's correct, Matt. You know, the one thing that we were looking for, even going back as far as spring practices, we didn't have that dominant edge rusher. Somebody could really turn the corner on an offensive tackle and close to the quarterback. And our guys are working very hard at that, but we also realized that we had Dan, and we could put him on the edge and allow him to do that. And one of the things that allowed us to do that was the development of our other linebackers off the ball in the pass game. And you're looking at Billy Louch and Colin Cooper and Jeremy Rodriguez, all have shown the ability to assume the linebacker position in the nickel package. And that's allowed us to move Danny to be our edge rusher. And then we move him around. We'll put him on the right. We'll put him on the left. He actually lined up as a three technique inside an interior rusher once on Saturday. So we like to put him in different spots. And he gives us that explosiveness coming off the ball. And, you know, just watching the video of what Dan was able to do against Wagner, it's very, very impressive.
A deep group this year, as Coach has said, at linebacker. You know, the last couple of years maybe a little thin in terms of if somebody got hurt, then all of a sudden a downward spiral kind of gets up and rolling. But I would imagine, and most positions I feel like are this way, you know, when we have Mike Hunchek on later on in the show, we'll talk about the bonding that the offensive linemen do. And I would imagine the linebackers are no different. You know, they are usually the guys who make the calls, make the adjustments, so everyone kind of has to know what everybody else is doing defensively. But this year's unit seems to be pretty tight as a group and as a whole.
Especially, I mean, on and off the field, I mean, when I first came here, there's never a connection, especially off the field. And I'll, like, Louch, Cooper, Jeremy, he just got here, and he's still such a great person. You know, you sit down and talk to him. And, I mean, the connection we have off the field really brings it together on the field. Billy Louch is probably the smartest on-the-field player I've ever encountered in my life. And Cooper, you know, he's really getting it. Last year, he was new to it, and this year, he's just about perfect, too. So you put three guys who have been a couple years down on the slate, on the field together, and it's going to come through.
And the other thing to add to that is, you know, where it's a deep group, but with the exception of Bill Louch, who's a senior, it's a young group. Colin Cooper is a sophomore. Dan is a junior, but he's really a redshirt sophomore because of the injury from the first year there. So it's a group that's got some good years in front of them as well.
So 2-1 so far this year, just as you were last year at this point. How does the season continue to roll forward rather than roll backwards as it did a year ago?
It's going to roll forward because that's our motto for this week. We have that hanging in our locker room. And as I said, the group last year and the group this year is two completely different breeds. And that's all I really have to say.
Is there any truth to the rumor that Saturday against Wagner, you were angling a couple of the offensive coaches to maybe get a snap or two at running back?
That is true.
That is true. I had to go tell Dan to go sit down.
Take it easy.
I said, Dan, go sit down now.
Take a rest.
Told me to take five.
But I will say this, you know, you have a player like Dan, and he is into every single play of the game, not just the defensive plays. When the offense is on the field, he's up, he's behind him, he's cheering him, he knows exactly what's going on out there. And he's excitable. He's excitable.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing a bit more of it this Saturday against Sacred Heart and for the rest of the year. I want to appreciate you coming by, giving us a couple of minutes. Get back to the books.
Definitely.
Back to the books.
Definitely.
That is junior middle linebacker Dan Sullivan. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll make this a two-minute break. This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. You're listening live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. We're back right after this on the Shore Sports Network.